Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in our conversation. Those telephone numbers, our lines are open right now. Telephone numbers toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Get you on the air with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and get open with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless, use the program for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be instrumental in pointing people to Christ tonight through the program and encouraging people in the work that you've given them to do. Father, we do pray that you bless and use this for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I just want to get right into things here tonight. We had a great time at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, with our Islamic conference that we had this past weekend. Started Friday with our How to Engage Muslims with the Gospel seminar, and we had some people visit, and glad to have you there. And if you didn't get a chance to visit, it was great. Some of that information we're going to be making available online. It was a four-hour seminar, approximately 4 hours, How to Engage Muslims with the Gospel, and that was presented by Tom Wallace. Tom Wallace is with Fortress of Faith. That's a ministry that he's organized, that God's called him into a ministry of doing two things. One thing, of course, is being able to resist Islam, resist the spread of Islam and Sharia and all of the things associated with that. And then the second part of that ministry that he's called into is to reach Muslims with the gospel message and win them to Jesus Christ. And a phenomenal course that he made available to us. And you can find out much of this information by visiting Tom Wallace's website at fortressoffaith.org. That's all one word, fortressoffaith.org or .org, however you remember it better. And he's got some of this information. We'll have some of this at our website, latenightlive.maplenoel.us, and we'll be getting that together right now. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. And hopefully we'll have some of that up by the end of the week. But it's a great course, and just wanted to hit a couple of things there and remind you, of course, that we will take your calls here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, doesn't have to be on this subject, be on anything. And you can give us a call. Those phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on toll free. But one of the things I was telling my wife during the middle of this is that in addition to being a good course on how to reach Muslims with the gospel, this really was a great course in how to reach anybody with the gospel, especially people coming from other religions and backgrounds that are quite different from what those of us who are raised with a familiarity with the Bible and church, and in particular the Baptist circles. But first thing, of course, is you've got to treat people with respect, and we need to understand that a lot of times Muslims in this country are interested in hearing the gospel. But if you're one of these people that you believe that you have to come out, you have to hit the Romans Road or something like that, and go through the gospel message in 5 minutes and tell people, well, you're a sinner. The Bible says all sin comes short of the glory of God. And then you say, well, the wages of sin is death. And And then you point out that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And you go through all these things. And then you say, well, you don't want to die and go to hell, do you? And the person would probably say, well, no, not really. You say, well, then you need to pray and you need to ask Jesus to save you. And then you lead them into prayer and say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Now you're saved. Glory to God. And you move on to the next one, put a notch in your Bible, and on you go. Well, that's not really the way you're going to win Muslims. And it's not really the way you're going to win most people to the gospel. The gospel is a message that's powerful, to be sure. It's the power of God unto salvation. But if you think that to the average Muslim, or if you're talking to somebody who's Hindu or Buddhist or Sikh or just about anything, Jehovah's Witness, Muslim, or I said Muslim, Mormon, a different variety of things, or even an atheist, if you think you're going to get people to bow their head and pray a prayer and invite Christ after one gospel presentation, it's really not likely going to happen that way. Does it happen on occasion? Sure. But generally speaking, it's because God has been working in that person's heart beforehand. You know, Jesus or Paul talked about some watering, some plant, some water, and some get to reap the harvest. And that's what happens is you've got to plant some seeds. And, you know, this is early summer here right now. We just had the first day of summer this past week, and a lot of people are still getting some gardens planted, and most gardens are in by now. But if you think about it, here in Northeast Ohio, before we started planting our gardens, we had to till the ground up. And the gospel seed, if it's going to take root, the ground's got to be prepared. The heart has to be prepared. And you need to prepare the ground by becoming friendly with people and friends with, if you're trying to reach a Muslim, for instance, you need to establish a relationship with them where you have the opportunity to share the gospel. And it needs to take time sometimes to get that heart prepared. And then as you drop that gospel seed into it and you begin to share the gospel as God gives you opportunity, then it has a chance to take root. So it may be that somebody else has prepared the ground, and it may be somebody else has planted the seed, and then you come along and you're able to reap that harvest. But the, like I said, the likelihood of somebody hearing the gospel initially, having never heard it, been exposed to it in any way, shape, or form before, and getting saved for just about anybody, Muslim or not, really is pretty slim. There has to be a preparation of the heart, and you know, the Bible says that we need to have compassion. We need to go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bring his sheaves with him. And so we need to have compassion. We also need to have prayer. We need to pray for souls. We need to pray for Muslims. We need to pray for our neighbors. We need to pray for people if we want to reach them with the gospel. Now, are there going to be obstacles that are thrown in your way? Absolutely. But you, if you know what Jesus did for you, you don't have to be an expert in Islam. You don't have to be an expert in these other religions to be able to reach people with the gospel. When my wife and I arrived in the Samoan Islands back in early in 93, I believe it was, we were faced with a situation where there were a lot of Mormons. In fact, a lot more Mormons than I would normally run into around here in Northeast Ohio. And we were trying to figure out how to talk to Mormons about the gospel. And I got some materials on evangelizing Mormons. And this one guy said, you know, if you're going to evangelize Mormons, first you've got to read the Book of Mormon. You got to read the Doctrines and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price, and you got to read their literature, and you've got to study them. And don't even think of talking to a Mormon about the gospel until you know more about Mormonism than they do. And I thought, well, that's a lot. You know, these guys, some of them have been studying it, you know, all their lives. How am I going to learn in just a short period of time enough to be able to reach them with the gospel? We also had a large vocal, not a large, but a very vocal Jehovah's Witness group there, and because we were new, they seemed to have a sign on our door telling them to come in, and they would knock on our door, it seemed like, about every couple of weeks, And so I thought, well, how am I going to reach Jehovah's Witnesses effectively with the gospel? And I got some materials on that. And one guy said, yeah, if you're going to reach Jehovah's Witnesses, you've got to study the book, their books. You've got to study their materials, and you've got to know more about the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society and Jehovah's Witnesses than they do themselves. If you're going to reach them effectively, don't even think about talking to them until you know more than they do. And I thought, well, okay, I got to know more about the Mormons than the Mormons do. I got to know more about the Jehovah's Witnesses than the Jehovah's Witnesses do. And I guess I got to know more about the Seventh-day Adventists than Seventh-day Adventists do, more about the Catholics than the Catholics do, more about this than they do, and more about that than they do. When am I going to have time to study my Bible? Well, truth of the matter is, you need to know more about the Bible than they do. And if you're a born-again Bible-believing Christian, I guarantee you probably know more about the Bible than the average Muslim that you're going to run into, or just about anybody else that you're going to run into. And spend your time studying the Word of God. You know, people who work in banks, they don't have to study every form of counterfeit currency out there. They study real currency, and you get a feel for it. We have a sponsor on our program, of course. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and if you want to get on the air with your question about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, you can call us toll-free. Our telephone lines are wide open right now, and you can call us 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I'm starting to say, one of our sponsors here on the program is Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. And Frank at Frank's Antiques there in North Royalton has told me that since he's been in the antique business, he can feel items. You know, somebody brings in something that's supposed to be silver, you know, bring in some coultry of some kind, it's supposed to be solid silver. And he can oftentimes tell just by the feel whether it's silver plated or sterling silver. And same with gold items. And it's because he's handled enough of the real thing that he is able to recognize it when he feels it, and recognize something that isn't the real thing when he feels it. And just like the bank tellers, they handle enough real dollar bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, $20, $50, $100 bills, whatever. They handle enough of it that you get a feel for it. And so when something comes across that's not real, it's a counterfeit bill, it's not on the same type of paper, it's printed a little differently, and you're able to feel the difference in it, and you can recognize oftentimes a counterfeit just by the feel, after you've handled enough of the real thing. And so that's what I'm saying. If you want a way to reach Muslims, if you want a way to reach your neighbors that are steeped in some other false religion, cult, or whatever with the gospel, you know, it's good to know something about what they believe. That's true. But it's more important that you know what you believe, why you believe it. It's more important that you study the Bible and you become familiar with the Bible, and that way you'll be prepared. I remember when I rededicated my life to the Lord, I was serving in the United States Air Force. I was stationed in England, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to get some good Christian books. And I went into the Pilgrim Bookstore in Bedford, England, and named Pilgrim Bookstore because if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, John Bunyan lived there in the Bedford area, and he was imprisoned in the Bedford jail. And we used to pass out tracts on the very spot that John Bunyan was arrested for preaching the gospel without a license. And he wrote Pilgrim's Progress there in the Bedford jail. And so the Pilgrim Bookstore was a Christian bookstore there named in honor of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And I remember walking into the bookstore, and I had this big wall of books, and I'm looking at it. Some had strange titles, some had hard-to-understand titles, and some had titles that I didn't know really what they were getting at. And I looked at it, and I thought, how do I know what's good? I knew some of what up there was fluff. Some of it up there was a little off in some areas. But I thought, really, how do I know? And, you know, after a few years of just simply studying the Bible, I developed the ability to pick up a book off the bookshelf, start browsing through it, And within a few minutes, you could tell whether or not it was true to the Word of God, or whether it was going off in some divergent tangents of some sort. And being familiar with the Word of God will help you. That's why Paul said to Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's word, why don't you give us a call tonight? We'll get you on the air here, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight. And I believe we have a caller coming in right now, and I believe we have, let's see here, Joy in Wycliffe. And yes. Joy, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
I have a question about Luke 8.
Yes. All right.
45 and 46.
Okay.
Where the lady touched Jesus's the hem of his garment.
All right. Let me get over there. Luke chapter 8, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There, just a moment. All right. Luke chapter 8.
44 through 46, but 46 in particular, if you could just explain to me, it touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me.
Right, right. In this particular passage, Jesus has been implored by this individual to go heal his daughter, who was 12 years old and she was dying. And as he was getting ready to head to help this man, there was a woman in the crowd. There was a huge crowd. In fact, verse 42 says, as he went, the people thronged him, which meant there was a huge crowd of people just pressed up against him. And the curious thing here is, how would he know that a particular woman touched him? Because people are bumping into him, this crowd. If you've ever gone through a big crowd somewhere, people are bumping up against you. And in verse 43 says, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So she had a need. She had this chronic situation, and she had spent a great deal of time and money trying to resolve this issue. And it says in verse 44, talking about this woman, she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, like the hem of his garment. Mm-hmm. I mean, she probably, what happened is she reached through the crowd, people pressing up against him. She reached through and she was able to catch the, you know, the hem of his garment, or perhaps, you know, like the hem around the sleeve of his garment or something. And the Bible says, and immediately her issue of blood staunched, which means she was cured. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said in verse 45, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? They're saying, well, yeah, everybody's touching you. Everybody's bumping up against you. And that's where your question is in verse 46, where he says, Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And what he's meaning here, and that word for virtue there, is a Greek word, dunamis. Okay, dunamis is an interesting word. I mean, it has to do with power and strength, and they generate electricity with a dynamo. The generator has a dynamo, and that comes from this word dunamis. We get the word dynamite based on this word dunamis. And we think of the power. You know, the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God, the dunamis of God unto salvation, because the gospel has the power to defeat, you know, the devil and to save us, you know, from sin. And so he's saying that virtue or some kind of power or strength went out from him, which accomplished a purpose, and it was based on her faith that she had. And so as she came in, she had tried everything that man offered. She tried everything that she could think about, and she, in her thought or in her heart, thought, if only I can reach out and touch him, he's my only hope. He's the only thing I have left to turn to. And in a sense, it's almost a picture of the gospel, because people try, to save themselves. People try to overcome their sin. They turn over a new leaf. They join, Alcoholics Anonymous. They make New Year's resolutions. They do this. They do that. They buy self-help books, and they keep failing time and time again, just like this woman did, because we have a sin sickness. And it's a chronic disease. Everybody listening knows that there's things that they struggle with. Everybody has besetting sins. You just can't seem to get the victory over them. And we try everything the world has to offer, but eventually we have to just kind of say, you know what? Nothing that I've done works. The world has nothing that's going to work. I have to turn to Jesus.
How does Jesus' virtue compare to, like, 2 Peter 1:5, and it says, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge."
Okay,
is
Second
this virtue
Peter?
Different than Jesus's virtue that went out from went out from him?
Yeah, let's take a look here. And while I'm turning over there, just kind of summing up what we were looking
Peter
at there.
1:5, yeah.
She had faith, and Jesus answered her faith by giving her what she needed. And that's just the same thing. You know, we can try all we can to deal with our sin problem, our sin sickness, but it's only when we have faith and we reach out to Christ and that we find the forgiveness of sin, and our sin sickness is dealt with. 2 Peter 1:5, right where you said, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." And that virtue there is a different word. That's a word that has to do more like with valor. For instance, the difference between, I heard somebody put it one time, the difference between being a male and being a man. You know, if you're a male, you just react. But if you're a man, you overrule some of the animal instinct and you conduct yourselves, maybe more properly, be a male and a gentleman. You exhibit some good manners, some good behavior. You know, somebody says something that you don't quite care for, rather than just haul off and smack them. You have a little reserve and you say, well, you know, maybe I misunderstood them. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. You're employing a little, higher thinking, not acting on the animal level. You're trying to act in a more virtuous manner.
Jesus' virtue was that dynamo or something you were talking about?
Yeah, that
and
was in Luke.
Virtue is a different
Luke.
Greek word?
Yeah, that was in Luke. And that was the dunamis. That was the power of God that went out of Jesus that met
and
that
this
met
virtue
her.
In 2 Peter is a different type.
He's saying add to your faith here, virtue. Be a man of valor. For a woman, be a virtuous woman.
So it is two different types.
Right. This has to do with your behavior, your characteristics in that sense. And then of course you build on that virtue, because really, think about it. Your ability, if you want to put the two together, your ability to be a witness for God is your ability to make the dunamis of the gospel, available to unsaved people, so that they can experience the power of God and be saved. But your virtue, meaning your character, your valor, being a virtuous person.
Like in Philippians 4:8, it says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's the same kind of virtue as 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter, we talked about our quality.
Yeah, that's I believe so.
Same kind of thing too. Okay.
Yeah. So
very good.
But it's good when you see these words in the Bible. That's where it's if you have access to a concordance, like a Strong's concordance, exhaustive concordance of the Bible is great. Or you can get some good electronic Bible type things, Sword Searcher, things like that, and they'll have the Greek in there where you can get some better knowledge, because we have different words that similar words, one word will mean two different things completely. It's good to know where they're coming from, and it helps.
Jesus
and,
acted any different when that virtue left him, if he kind of felt exhausted or you always wonder that. It's kind of neat.
Yeah,
I taught on it today, and I just didn't know really how to expound on it.
Well, being God, you know, it's kind of like if you went up to the ocean and you took a spoonful of water out of the ocean. The ocean's not going to really be affected too terribly much unless you're a follower of chaos theory, but it shows every little action has an effect. But, that spoonful of water out of the ocean is not going to really have any effect that we can see. But if you look at it as God knew that spoonful was gone. And so the power didn't exhaust God.
Wow, okay.
It didn't exhaust
That's
him,
so good.
But he was aware. It'd be like if the ocean didn't lose any volume, really, but it would. They say it was aware that you took that spoonful of water out.
Right.
And so that's what happened. There was all these people were thronging him, and there was one woman who came to him with a need and had faith, and she's the one who received the power of God, which was sufficient to cure her of her incurable disease. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good illustration of the gospel. I appreciate that call.
Thank you.
That's a good question.
Have a good evening.
Yeah, thank you. God bless. That was a good word study to get into here tonight. I know we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break here shortly. And if you want to get on the air tonight with a question and about the Bible or current events in light of God's word, our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got a caller in Shaker Heights, which we'll hold until after the break. If you can hang on there, and we'll pick you up after the break, and we'll take care of a few things there, and we'll get back to our callers. And of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Glad to be with you tonight. Hope you'll stick with us until midnight. We've got another half
hour
to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And, you know, if it's too late to stay up till midnight, we appreciate that, understand that. And I've been up since 7 or something like that this morning, had a long day at church. But I just want to use that as a way to mention that we also have our Friday afternoon program now, Friday at 1:30 right here on AM 1220. And that's live with Pastor Al. We do the same thing. Biggest difference is it's in the afternoon. The other big difference is only half hour instead of the full hour that we have here at night. But we'd welcome you to join us for our Friday program live with Pastor Al at 1:30 on Friday afternoon. And, of course, we invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. And more information on that at the end of the program again. But Late Night Live with Pastor Al is also brought to you by not only Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, but Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82 in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let Frank know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Of course, we invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church, and we invite you to give us a call tonight with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. You don't have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible. Give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We have Rick in Shaker Heights, I believe, waiting for us. And Rick, are you there?
Yes, I'm Pastor.
Good evening. Welcome.
All right, Al, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I had two very quick questions.
Yes, sir.
When you were speaking earlier about the gospel and speaking to others of different faiths,
mm-hmm.
Studying the Bible has been somewhat of a problem for me because, like, my approach, like, I'll tackle a chapter, just say, like, Matthew chapter 5. I might read that 3 times a day.
Right.
Then the next day, I'll read chapter 6 3 times a day. You know, just trying to different approaches, and some things stick with me and some things don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just wondering what your advice is as far as, you know, proper study of the Bible, ways to go about it, you know, so that these scriptures and, you know, stick with you. And
right.
Just, you know, something that would motivate you to want to dive into the Bible and just understand it more.
Okay. You know? Yeah. And that's it's really good. First and foremost, of course, it has to be bathed in prayer. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired. The Bible says Holy Spirit, or, you know, holy men of God were spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of God gave the word. You know, Paul told Timothy that all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And so we want to ask the author, you know, to help us understand what he inspired these men to write. And so that's a key right there. But then when you get down to the actual opening of the book, you know, and looking at it, we know we're supposed to study. So that obviously implies, you know, having some kind of a plan. And it sounds like you're making an effort there. You know, some people, they have the plan where you flop the Bible open and the page that it opens to, that's what you study. And
right.
Well, you know, maybe every once in a while you'll get something, but it's like my dad always said, a stop clock's right, you know, twice a day. And so every once in a while you hit something that be helpful, but there's better ways to do it. And
sure.
You're on to a good thing of going over passages repeatedly. And, you know, some people will give a one-size-fits-all type way of studying the Bible. And I'm usually kind of reluctant to say you have to do it this way or you have to do it that way. I think whatever works for an individual that gets them in the Bible on a consistent basis.
Right.
I'll share what I do that helps me because I'm not somebody who reads the Bible and memorizes verses and then can spit out chapter and verse and the verse verbatim You know, I'm somebody who more memorizes and remembers principles and ideas and concepts, and that makes it kind of hard. You know, I get kind of envious of people who just spit out verse after verse, cite the chapter and the verse that they're quoting, and just spit it out one right after another. I don't do that real well. But as you study and repeatedly read through things, those concepts are going to get fixed in, and you will start to remember things more and more. And the big thing is understanding that 1 Peter 3:15, God said, or Peter said, he wrote, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And the way you're ready to give an answer is by putting this information, this material, into your mind, into your heart, making it a part of you. And then the Holy Spirit, when you're in a situation when you need it, oftentimes the Holy Spirit will help those things come to the surface. What I do is this. I have a Bible reading program that I start with. And the Bible reading program, I have the Bible divided into certain sections. I have several sections, and I have that set up. And then I keep markers in my Bible. In fact, I have a Bible that I use just for reading. So I have these markers in these sections. I have an index card there, or a piece of paper there, where I can keep track of where I'm reading in that section, because I like to compare Scripture with Scripture to see how it compares. I started this reading program. In addition to the sections, I have, like, for instance, if you read the book of Genesis and read through it, instead of reading Exodus next, I would read Matthew next. And then instead of reading, you know, Mark, I would go back to Exodus. Do you see what I'm doing, alternating back and forth between the Old and New Testament? And for me, I try to read five chapters. Then after I read those five chapters, I mark it on my index card so I know where to pick up next time I do this. And then I go to the sections that I have, and I have two sections that I try to read every day a chapter or two of. And one of those sections is the Psalms. It's just good. You just can't go wrong with the Psalms. And then another section is Proverbs through Song of Solomon. You know, some wisdom books there. And so I'm reading through that every day. And by doing that, I've been through the Psalms, I don't know how many times, and I've been through Proverbs and Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes and things like that, you know, dozens of times. And that constant repetition for me helps, because it gets the Word of God in me, and it helps me to know the principles. And that also, then when I'm talking, like for instance on a radio program, somebody will say something and I think, oh yeah, I remember reading, and then I go flipping through trying to figure out where I was at, and I can find, you know, oftentimes, or with my my Bible on the computer, I can find the verse and something that'll apply to what we're talking about, and the Holy Spirit brings those to mind. But the big thing is you got to determine that you're going to do it, and ask God to help you do it. And the devil's not going to make it easy on you. It's like we used to always joke and say, well, you know, if you got insomnia, some nights pick up the Bible and start reading, the devil will put you to sleep pretty fast. He didn't want you to read it. And you'll find that you can be reading the paper. You can be reading a fiction book. You can be reading this, reading that, be wide awake. You pick up the Bible, next thing you know, you can't keep your eyes open.
Right.
Because the devil don't want you to read. Just to rebuke the devil and move on. Because God wants you to read and study. And you know, if you can find a Bible study, you know, help book, sometimes they're good. Where I would suggest is at your church, talk to your pastor, see if he can recommend a good a study book, a good guide, a reading guide to the Bible to help you out. And then a concordance is a great tool to have. I recommended to our last caller Strong's Concordance, because you can look things up and follow thoughts and see some of the definitions of the words. And then a pen and paper next to your Bible is very helpful, especially a lot of people like to have that. And as thoughts occur to them, they jot them down and jot references down. And then when you're reading something else, you have questions and you jot that down and you're reading something that seems totally unrelated maybe a couple weeks later, and all of a sudden you'll see something that that has to do with that question that you had previously, and compare scripture with scripture that way, and God will help you. And okay. But that's go ahead.
No. I was just going to say thank you so much. I appreciate your everything you just said very much.
Well, I appreciate you calling, and I hope that helps and helps other people as well, because you know, if we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, then God's going to help us. He told us to do it, so it's His responsibility to help us. But He's not going to help us if we don't. When I was in college, I used to pray, say, "Lord, help me on this test." But I could never, in good conscience, say, "Help me to help me to know the answers." I would say, "Lord, help me to remember the things I studied.
Sure, yeah,
bring them to my mind." I didn't want God to put stuff in that if I was, you know, not willing to make the effort to at least read the material. And so it's, for me, it's a constant going over, reading over and over. Don't just read the Bible, say, "Well, I read the Bible. Now what do I do?" No, read it again. Read through it. Read through books. You read something, and if you're a new person studying the Bible, it might be helpful to start in the Gospel of John, for instance, not even at Genesis. Start in the Gospel of John. Read that three times, just like you're talking about, reading three times, and ask God to help you, and ask your pastor, and ask a mature Christian to help you understand things, and then read the book of Romans three times. Somebody perhaps that is coming from another background, for instance, Islam or something, it may be important to read the book of Genesis first and get some background there, and then read the Gospel of John, and after you've read Genesis. But if you want to know, God will help you, and keep trying, and eventually you'll find a format that works for you, and that'll help you, and just keep at it. And it takes time. It's a big book. It's got a lot in it, and big in terms of big concepts, big ideas, things that's there. And it's a powerful book. And every time I read through it, I find something new. So,
but praise the Lord.
Hey, praise the Lord. I appreciate
that. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that, Rick. And you have a great week. God bless. Again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. We've still got a few minutes left in our program, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. And as we answer your questions about the Bible, as I said before, you don't have to put your brains on hold to believe the Bible. It's a book written by an intelligent God for intelligent people. And if you don't think you're that intelligent, well, ask God for wisdom, and He'll give you the help to understand it. But the big key, really, in studying the Bible, too, is, like I mentioned with our caller, is the Holy Spirit. And the reason oftentimes unsaved people really have trouble with the Bible is precisely because it is a spiritual book. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that, let's see, it's dropped down here to verse number 10, but God hath revealed them, talking about things that God's prepared for us, things that He's got in the Scriptures. God revealed them by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then Paul writes this, but the natural man, that's the unsaved person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We have to be saved to really fully understand and learn what the Bible has to say. Well, if you've got a question, give us a call, 888-677-9673. Question about the Bible, question about current events in light of God's Word. And I wanted to mention, keep your eyes on Egypt this week. The Muslim Brotherhood candidate took the election, and there's concern about whether the military is going to allow them and listen to them. Not sure what all is going to happen, but we'll get to your calls here, though, in the meanwhile. Got a lot of calls coming in right here at the tail end. We'll get you here just as soon as we're ready here. We've got Christine in Cleveland, I guess, up next. And Christine, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Pastor, I was wondering if you could maybe chapter 22 of Revelation.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you go to the end there.
Uh-huh.
I'd like
chapter
to know
22
what
and verse 2.
Maybe you want to read the whole verse, I don't know. But it says, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Right.
Well, I'd like to know what that exactly means. Because, I mean, when you get to heaven, you're not going to need healing. So, you know.
Oh, right. And yeah, because you're absolutely right. We're talking about being in heaven at this time.
Yeah.
And there's no sickness. There's no disease.
Right.
The curse is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Sin has been dealt with there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got these trees, and these trees are like the tree of life. And we see them yielding fruit every month of the year. And the leaves of the tree says were for the healing of the nations. Let me come down here. Healing right there as soon as I can focus my eyes and see what I'm trying to read here. No wonder I'm in the wrong chapter. I was in chapter 21.
Okay.
Here we are, chapter 22, and verse number 2 here.
Yeah.
The healing there, you know, it can mean, you know, curing, but it's the same root word that we get therapy from. You know, you ever look at something and say, well, that's good therapy. It's something that it's pleasing, it's encouraging, and it helps you feel good. And, you know, in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of life. I remember God prevented Adam and Eve from eating from the tree of life after they sinned and disobeyed
right.
him, because he didn't want them to continue on forever in their fallen state. But you could say then, okay, if it's the same as these trees, if these are the tree of life or trees of life, you know, the same type of tree, the leaves obviously and the fruit having the same effect that they did in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were without sin. So it's more of a therapeutic type thing that is going to be more helpful, encouraging, and things that God has designed that during the eternal state, it's going to be not healing as in healing from sickness, but encouraging, you know, promoting well-being and things of that nature throughout eternity in the future. I suppose that might be probably the better way to look at that. But we are obviously got eternal life. God sustains that. But this is one of the things that he does for our well-being. You know, good therapy for us to keep us in pleased state. I kind of stumbled on that, I think, on the words there. But that's where I will leave it at, I guess. It's
okay.
It's just the well-being, continual well-being, good mental health, good emotional health of God's people throughout eternity, perhaps would be a way we could look at that.
Okay.
You're not going to have the sin nature to contend with, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's good things keep us from being bored, keep us excited about the things of God, and help us and just improve our condition during eternity. So hopefully that helps there a little
bit. Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate the call. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got, let's see here, Grandma Marge with some advice on Bible reading there. Hi, welcome.
I would like to assist that young lady that you were just talking with as
yes,
far
ma'am.
As trees. We are supposed to be the Lord's trees of righteousness, and we are the branches and the leaves on those trees. And according to when James Madison said, you know, that we have to perform as sons on the main tree of God himself. And when the Lord said that he needed help, he expects us to be good green leaves full of his wisdom and righteousness, and we are supposed to work to get rid of all the wickedness. Well, in our government situation today, we have a big job to do. We have to restore liberty, like it says in James 2:17-21.
Right.
We are to be the doers of that liberty. So
exactly. And
that takes some righteous leaves to accomplish the feat.
Well, exactly. And God's people need to be carrying the gospel to the world, and that certainly brings life to the world because people are lost in
darkness.
Oh, certainly.
But, you know, yeah. I don't think too many of the pastors have ever taught the, at least I haven't heard it very often, as far as being leaves on the branches of the tree of righteousness, which is the mm-hmm. Lord's Holy Spirit.
Oh, and that's a very good point. I appreciate that. We're just about out of time tonight, but I appreciate that, and I just want to touch on something somebody else called in on as well here, so I'll let you go on that. Appreciate that call tonight, and of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we had a caller who did not want to come on the air, but wanted to know if God still performs miracles today, and emphatically, I say yes, and I've been told that as an independent fundamental Baptist, I don't believe in miracles, but you cannot be a Bible-believing Christian and not believe in miracles, and let me give you a quick couple of examples. One, every time that a new child is created, at the moment of conception, a miracle is work. God creates a new person. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says, and that God creates a new person. That's a miracle. Number two, every time that an unsaved person trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God changes them. He forgives them of their sin. He takes their dead spirit, gives them a living spirit, and a miracle of salvation takes place. That's another miracle that takes place. And, of course, our caller's probably thinking of other types of miracles that happen. A miracle usually is basically when God suspends natural laws and acts supernaturally, intervenes in his creation. And does God work miracles today? Yes, I remember praying when down in the Samoan Islands, myself and another missionary prayed over a gentleman who was suffering from dengue fever. And having had dengue fever myself, I know what it's like. It's called breakbone fever for good reason, and it just wipes you out. And he was needing to drive his bus because that was the income for his family, and he couldn't because he was suffering with dengue fever. God laid another missionary and myself to pray over him, and we prayed over him, and by that evening, he was back in his bus driving. And with dengue fever, you don't recover that fast to do that. God can and does work miracles, and he does it when he has a reason. In that particular case, it helped us to be able to share the gospel with that family. And God will work miracles sometimes to bring people to a position where they can hear the gospel. God will work miracles in the lives of people who are ill. Sometimes it's a witness to them, to their family, to the doctors, to the nurses. And sometimes God will work other miracles protecting people. We could go on about different things and just a couple of minutes, but a missionary who was working in Africa, his car broke down. Guy was walking alongside the road. He needed a particular part to fix his car. Guy had a plastic bag. The only thing in it was that part. He fixed the car, and when he went to thank him, the guy was gone. That's miraculous. That was an angel God sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. We're out of time. Join us Friday and join us again next Sunday night. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.